All right.
Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 22. I do want to tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I was here last year at your first meeting and enjoyed it very, very much. And I appreciate all the effort that you all have put into it, the good food. And I know it's a labor, but I appreciate it so much. We do it every year. Third weekend in June, and our meeting this year is June 20th through the 22nd. But I do so appreciate the privilege of being here, and the songs that's been sung, the messages have been such a blessing to me. Oh, my. I love to hear good preaching, don't you? And it's been good so far. got to always be something wrong somewhere, you know. Got to be a fly in the ointment. I hope it ain't me. But, you know, here in Luke 22, it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and our Lord Jesus Christ was going to have his last Passover with his disciples. And he had the Passover with them, and they're in the upper room. And he told them about he was going to be betrayed. That he was going to be betrayed. And it says there in verse 23, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Who would do such a thing? Who would betray our Master? Who would betray our Lord Jesus Christ? Who would betray the one who loved us so? The one who's met all of our needs? The one who has been such comfort and loved us and taught us and kept us all this time? Who would do such a thing? And immediately they're still in the upper room. And while this is going on, it says there in verse 24, and then they began to argue among themselves after they said, which one of us would possibly betray? Which one of us would do this thing? Then they began to talk about which one of us is going to be the greatest. I wouldn't do it because I'm greater than you. I'm stronger than you. I got more faith than you. I love the Lord more than you do. I'm closer to Christ than you are. I pray more than you do. I understand what the Lord says more than you do. So they began to argue among themselves which of them should be the greatest there in verse 24. Well, our Lord, he began to teach them, said, it's not the way it's going to be of mine. It's the way the world does. The greatest out in the world, that's the one that exercises authority. He said, that's not going to be that way in the kingdom of God. You take the least among you, the very least one, and that's the one that's going to be the greatest. The one that's nobody. God said, I'll take the weak to confound the mighty, the foolish to confound the wise. He said, that's the way it's going. You take the very least. He said, that's to be the one. He says, you know, if the saints judge the world, shall we not take the least among you to be the one to judge among the saints? And then he goes on down to say them, tell them down here in verse 29. He said, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. A kingdom, as my Father hath appointed me. You're going to be with me in this kingdom. You're going to help me. You're going to be used of me to set up my kingdom in this world. And then when this kingdom, when we come into glory and the kingdom's there, said, you're going to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Gave these men great encouragement. Told them of the reward and how he's going to bless them. And then he says this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I want to ask this question. Will your faith fail? Will my faith fail? Will our faith fail? Gary gave four
great warnings that our Lord gave us. And as he read them, I began to think to myself, what gate did I go in? Is the Lord using him to tell me something right now, speak to me? Have I listened to a false prophet? Have I got a false profession? Have I built my house on a false foundation? And those things, they're real. That happens to people. And people's faith, they profess to have it and it fails. But will anyone for whom Christ died, will their faith fail? Will it end up not being real, not being true? No matter how weak it is or strong it is or how mighty it is or what we think about it. That's what our Lord said here, Simon, 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 Simon. We sang that song, that wonderful song. And I preached this at home last week. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shatters a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. Well, that's what He's doing right here with Simon Peter. He's covered His hand. He's covered Simon Peter with His hand. Helping him, upholding him, and that's what He's doing. And so He says, Simon, 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 Simon. You know, He didn't call him Simon Peter or Peter down here until verse 34. And He said, I tell thee, Peter. You know, Peter means rock. You're the rock. He didn't tell him he was a rock here. Didn't tell him he was a rock here. And look how our Lord said it. He said it so graciously, so compassionately, so tenderly. Simon, Simon, just got through telling him you're going to have a throne. And you're going to sit on a throne in my kingdom. Then he turns right around and says, Simon, Simon, such tenderness, compassion. And gives him a fearful, fearful warning here. An awful, tells him about an enemy. He tells him about an enemy. He says, Satan, Satan hath desired you. Satan hath desired you to have you, one of God's elect, one of God's chosen, you an apostle, you one who walked on water, you that's been with me in my temptations, you that sat down at the table with me and ate with me and saw me when I raised the dead. Satan hath desired to have you. An apostle, an elect one, a chosen one. And oh, he tells him about an awful, awful enemy that we have. And I'll tell you something about it. He said, now Satan desired to have you. Satan's working and they didn't know it. They didn't know it. They didn't know Satan was there. They didn't know the devil. He did not know the devil was going to have him and sift him this wheat. He didn't know he was working. He was near the flock and they did not have a clue that he was among that flock. Not the first clue. And beloved, ain't that the way it was in the book of Job? And Job opened up, he says, the sons of God presented themselves before God and Satan appeared there with them. And God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? And what are you doing here? He said, I've went to and fro on the face of the earth looking, searching. And oh, beloved, that's the way he does. Wherever the people of God are, you mark it down, he comes with them. And he don't come dressed up, he comes just dressed like I am, with a suit on and a Bible. That's what, when he read those verses tonight, you know where the false prophet hangs out? He's right at the gate. He hangs around the gate. He don't want you to get in the straight gate, he wants you to get in the wide gate. He hangs around the gate. He don't want to watch where you go. And that's what he done here. And our Lord said, oh, we've got an awful enemy. And as an enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ and his blessed people, he's got several names. And our Lord called him Satan here, and he's got it capitalized because that's his title. Satan, arch enemy, the serpent. And he's called subtle for his deception, his ability to deceive. He's crafty. He deceived our mother Eve through his subtlety, through his craftiness. He beguiled her. And then Simon Peter, the one here who was sifted by him, He says, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He was called a lion for his fierceness. He's called a lion for his aggressiveness. He's called a lion for his fierceness and his ability to intimidate and tie down people and make them afraid. And oh, then he's called an angel of light. Because an angel, he comes in dazzling. He comes in and impresses people. He comes in shining. Oh, he comes in. Oh, that fella, I've never seen anything like him. Heard nothing like it. He beats anything else. And he comes in as an angel of light. Dazzling, bright, brilliant. And then also he's called an accuser of the brethren. He told God, he says, you know, your servant Job, he don't love you because you're God. He don't worship you because you're God. He only worships you and comes to you and worships you because of all the blessings you've given him. You give him lots of cattle. You give him lots of children. You give him fine houses. You give him lots of money. And if you take all that away from him, he'll curse you to your face. He just serves you for what he can get out of you. He does not care for you. He don't love you. He don't care for your holiness. He don't care for your righteousness. He don't care for your blood. He don't care for all you've done for him. He don't care. He just cares for what you got. Tear down that hedge around him. Let me have him. And he'll cuss you to your face. That's what he does. He accuses us to God. He says, them people down there, they don't love you. They're serving you because they don't want to go to hell. They're using Jesus as a fire escape. They use him as a doormat. They don't love him for who he is. They don't love his glory and his righteousness and his power and his compassion and his love. They don't love him. They don't love him for who he is.
Oh, listen, old Job said, though he slay me. Though he slay me. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Uh-huh. And oh, beloved, listen. And then look over here in John 8 with me just a moment. John 8. He's called a murderer. He's called a murderer. We got an enemy, an awful enemy. An awful, awful enemy. He's called a murderer. And a liar. Our Lord said here in John 8:44. Now he's talking to religious people, sons of Abraham, as a matter of fact. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who did he murder? Adam. And he murdered all of us in him. All of us died in him. And not only that, he abode not in the truth. Oh, he didn't abide in the truth because there's no truth in him. If there's no truth in you, you can't abide in the truth. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar. And the father of it. So he's called a murderer. He wants to destroy men's souls. And not only that, but he's the same one that when that seed's sown by the wayside, he comes and snatches it away. He comes and snatches away the seed that's sown. And then he's the one who comes and sows the tares among the wheat. Now, beloved, we know that the world is a snare. The world is a snare. You know that world out there that we live in? The political world, the social world, the intellectual world, the economic world, the world we have to work in, all these worlds, scientific world, all these worlds, they got snares for us and they entangle us. And the flesh, what an awful burden. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The world's a snare, the flesh is an awful burden, but that's neither one of them's an enemy to us like the enemy of the devil. He's invisible. You can't see him. He's got 6,000 years experience dealing with people like you and me. He was so brash, so arrogant, that he even took on the Lord Jesus Christ 40 days and 40 nights. Now that's a pretty potent enemy, ain't he? And oh, he overthrew our first parents. He overthrew David when David stood out one day out meditating and looked down through there and there's a woman down there in that sand. He said, oh, you need that woman. And not only did he take the woman, but then he committed murder over that woman. And he did take Simon Peter when our Lord said he seeks to sift you. He sifted him. I mean, he sifted him and sifted him hard. But all we have a blessed promise. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And look in Romans 16:20 just a moment. Let me show you this. This is a blessed promise right here. Look at this blessed promise. Romans 16:20. This is soon to happen. And the God of peace, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That means just right now. It's right on us. Going to bruise him under our feet. Oh, but now look over here. You know, I've painted an awful dark picture. And we've got an enemy. And I don't want to deal with him. I want my master to deal with him. My master's already dealt with him. My master's defeated him. You know, in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, they got on Bypass Meadow one time, and they finally got straightened out, and they got back on the road, and they're going up through there, and there's this beautiful house up there they wanted to go to. There was a light in it, and it's dark, and light and everything going on, and they started up through this path, and all of a sudden there's two big lions up there in front of that house that they wanted to go into. And them lions just roared and lunged at them. And they jumped back, hey, we're going to get to that house, hey, we're going to get to that place of comfort and rest to get in there where that light's at. And man, them lions is in the way. And then they got to looking. I said, well, them lions is old chains. So they just walked around. And you know the chain, stay away. Don't let, you know, step back. He don't go so far. That's the way it is with our Lord. He's on a chain. He can only go so far. He can only go so far. But now watch what else happens here. And the Lord said unto Simon, 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 Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Now watch this. But, you think, thank God for these verses. Thank God for these buts in the Scripture. Oh, thank God for these buts. But I have prayed for thee. I've prayed for thee that what? That your faith fail. It's going to be assaulted. It's going to be put in the crucible. Satan himself is going to sift you and try to sift you and hope. And he thinks that he's going to turn you to where you're nothing but chaff. But there's some wheat there. And he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. What a glorious, glorious, blessed truth. Peter had an intercessor. Peter had somebody praying for him. Peter had somebody. He had a great high priest that was in the presence of God praying for him. Look what he said. I prayed for thee. He didn't say your brethren prayed for you. He didn't say you prayed for yourself. He said, I prayed for you. And you know what? He prayed for him before the temptation ever came. He said, this is coming. Satan desires to have you. And he prayed for him before it ever happened. Told him it was going to happen. He said, I prayed for you before it ever did happen. And what is that what our Lord said in John 17:9? I prayed not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world. And he said, Father, all those that you gave me, I have kept them and lost none of them, save the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And then he says, Father, they're in the world, and I pray don't take them out of the world, just keep them from the evil that's in the world. I prayed for you. Now, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his people before you and I ever existed. Ain't that right? He said, I pray for them who shall believe on me through their word. And then as many as are ordained to eternal life believe. Why? Because we heard that word. And oh, he said, I pray for you. Before the temptation, I prayed for you. And the only reason he did not fully and finally fall away was because of Christ.
because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did. You know, I know this, and I know it as well as I know my name, that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. People talk about, you know, I have this strength and I have that strength. I got news for you. I have none. Christ is my strength. I've tried to stand on my own and I ain't never been able to do it. Can't do it. Don't want even try. I gave up trying that years ago. But the only reason he did not fully and finally fall away was because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know our Lord promised that he would lose none. Look in John 6 with me just a moment. John 6. You see, he promised. He promised that he'd lose none. And here's one of his. Look in John 6:37. He promised that he'd lose none. And you know, that's the thing. That you know, all the promises of God are in Christ. Yea and amen. And that's what, oh, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you that he has said, to Jesus, to you who for Jesus hath refuge fled. And oh, look what he said. He promised he'd lose none. All that the Father gives me, in John 6:37, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll nowise cast out. Oh, Simon Peter, if anybody needed to be cast out, it'd be him. He's going to deny the Lord three times. But oh, he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is why I won't cast him out. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Not only will I not lose it, but I'll raise it up again at the last day. Oh, he promised that he'd lose none. I won't lose one. And then he promised eternal life. He didn't promise life until you do good or do bad. He didn't promise you life until you sin. He didn't promise you life till your faith is not perfect. He didn't promise you life if you do the best you can. He didn't promise you his life if you wasn't faithful. He promised eternal life. And he gives life. One of the preachers said it this morning. He says, y'all, can you just imagine the Lord saying, I invite you to take life? Invite you to take life? Did you invite your children to take life? No. He said, I give it. I give it. And oh, and that you know how long it is? It's as long. And people argue and debate over the length of eternal life. It's not the length of it. It's the quality of it. It's the life of God in a man's soul. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what we have in Christ that makes it eternal. It's the quality of it. And then, beloved, he promised that one day they'd be where he was and they'd behold his glory. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And you reckon that we'll be there? He said, I will. And then, beloved, he also promised this. This is why he didn't fall and fail, and his faith didn't fail. That he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you even to the end. Huh? I'll go with you. And then he says, I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Thy faith. That faith that I gave you. That faith that was a gift. That faith that looked outside itself. Faith is not self-inaction. Faith is self-renounced, self-abhorred. Beloved, but if faith fails, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. If faith fails, everything fails. Everything fails. Courage fails. Patience fails. Hope fails. Love fails. Joy fails. Peace fails. All hope is gone if faith fails. If faith, if it's gone, all is gone. But he said, I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. No wonder, Simon Peter says, unto you that have obtained like precious faith. Oh, it's precious. It's precious. And our faith won't fail. And you know why it won't? Because Christ won't fail. Oh my, I couldn't count the times I failed. I couldn't begin to count the times that I quit. Couldn't begin to count the times that I've said, "Oh Lord, how can you have anything to do with me?" But our faith won't fail because Christ won't fail. He sits right now. Right now. He appears in the presence of God for us. Right now. Sits at God's right hand with an omnipotent hand. And He's got all power in heaven and earth. And He exercises that power and exerts that power for all whom He died. And He exerts that power from people who haven't yet believed on Him and going to give them faith. And when He gives it to them, it'll never fail because He prays for them. Huh? Oh, my. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Ever lives. Look what else He says now here in Luke 30:22. Oh, He said, Simon, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. That thy faith fail not. Ain't you grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ, that great high priest, when he went in, he had the names of children on his breastplate and also on his shoulder. And our Lord Jesus got us on his heart and bears our weight on his shoulder. And you know, it's His faithfulness that's going to keep us faithful. And then look here at a sure thing that's going to happen. And He says there in verse 32, "But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted." Oh. It was sure that he's going to be sifted. It's also sure that his faith is not going to fail because Christ prayed for him. And it's also sure that he's going to be converted. He said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. Oh, he's going to fall. He's going to fall. Simon Peter said in verse 33, he said, "Oh Lord, I'm ready to go with you. I'm ready to go to jail if that's where you're going. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die." And our Lord said, "You're going to deny me three times. It's late in the evening. They ain't left the upper room yet to go out into Gethsemane. He don't leave there until verse 39. He'd get up and go out to Gethsemane. But here he is." He said, "You know it's dark now, and before daylight comes, before the rooster crows the first time," he said, "you're going to deny me three times." He's going to fall. He's going to deny his master. He's going to be sifted. But he says, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now how in the world is this going to do him any good? This fall. How's it going to do him any good? How will it do the cause of Christ any good? How will it do his gospel any good? Huh? And he's going to be converted. And what is a conversion? It's something happens to us just regular. You know, how many times have we been converted? How many times have we been converted? We've just constantly been turned away from ourselves. And that's what a conversion is. It's being turned from, to. And you know, we get converted from traditions, get converted from false ideas, get converted from self-confidence. And you know, when conversion is a turning from. And Simon Peter must be turned from what he was before. Oh my, and his conversion. How will it going to do any good? What's his conversion going to do? His conversion, he said, strengthen the brethren. His conversion will be a glorious, glorious display of the grace and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, "I will never, ever cast you out." Here's a perfect illustration of that. Here's a perfect illustration of that. Let me ask you this. If you'd have been there when you come in at Noah's day, And you saw Noah laying there naked and drunk. What would you have thought of him? You say, ain't nowhere in the world that man can know God. Huh? Go see old Abraham. He's up there at Abimelech's palace. His wife Sarah is with him. He said, now Sarah, you tell him that you're my sister, because they're going to kill me and take you. That's how good looking you are. So listen, if they do what they want, just don't hurt me. If you'd have been standing there heard him lie like that, selfish and self-centered, you said, oh, that's the father of the faithful? God made a promise to him? There ain't nothing to him. Been there when David took Bathsheba, got her pregnant. Uriah come home. Wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Said, oh, listen, Joab, you take him and you put him right in the heat of the battle. I don't want him coming back here. Said, I don't want him back here. Not only did he take his wife, but then he took his life. If you would have been there, what would you have thought of David? The man after God's own heart. If you would have been there, here's Simon Peter one day walked on water. And he's sitting there by the enemy's fire, warming himself. Oh, you're one of them Galileans, your speech betrays you. Oh, not me, I don't know that fellow. Another fellow says, what, ain't you one of them fellows that been running around with him just, no, you got me mixed up somebody. If you'd have been there, what would you thought? This man's an apostle. This man knows Christ? Huh? Oh, if somebody saw me and you, what we was at, what we was doing, what we was saying, how we was acting, would they say, does that man know Christ? Thank God he says, I will in no wise, no way, under any circumstances, ever cast a man out. If God would ever cast a man out, he'd have cast me out years and years and years ago. Ain't you grateful? Huh? Now, I didn't say all those things to tell you, you know, that all those things are warning for us. This is what not to do. Don't see how far you can sin. Don't see how far you can take the grace of God and go with sin all you want to. No. All those things are written for our learning, for our admonition, to keep us and teach us what not to do. And oh, my. And who better to tell of Christ's faithfulness? And who could talk about how Christ is faithful and gracious and merciful more than Simon Peter? Huh? He must be converted. He must be turned from his self-confidence. He must be turned from trusting his own strength. He must be turned from trusting his own ability. He didn't know himself. He was deceived. He said, I'll go with you even to death and prison. He deceived in his own self. And oh my. He didn't know himself, and he got to learn himself. And oh, Jeremiah says, turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. And who better to tell the brethren the bitterness of falling than one who has fallen? Who better to tell the weakness of the flesh than those who have trusted the flesh? Look over here in verse 60 in Luke 22. Here's where his conversion starts. This is one of the most astounding things I've ever seen in all the world. And right here it is in front of us. Luke 22:60. And Peter says, man, this is the third time, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the rooster crowed. Now look. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Oh my, looking right at him. Looking in the depths of his soul. Simon Peter just denied him three times. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And what happened? This is when his conversion started. converted from his self-confidence, his self-righteousness, his pride, his arrogance, false ideas of himself, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And how many times have we had to go out and weep bitterly? Who better to tell the brethren of the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ than someone like Simon Peter, who fell so? Who better to tell of Christ's faithfulness than those who are unfaithful? As we receive mercy, let us faint not. And look with me in John 21. I'll be done just in a moment. How long have I been? You got a clock up here? Look with me in John 21. This is such a blessing right here. John 21. You know, they went off fishing. They went off fishing here in John 21. And in verse 5, it says, our Lord Jesus says, children, have you any meat? The guy tell him, no, we ain't got no bread. We ain't got nothing to eat. They asked him, no. And he said unto him, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. They cast therefore now, and they were not able to draw it to land for the multitude of the fishes. Now watch this. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, oh John, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. That's the Lord over there. Now when Simon Peter heard that, he heard his fishes go about him, for he is naked. And he didn't wait for them. He didn't help them fellas draw them fish to land. He didn't help row that boat. He had to get to Christ just as fast as he could get there. Why? Because even though our faith sometimes feels like it's plumb gone, and like the devil's turned us every way but loose, we still have the confidence and the desire and the need to get to Christ and do it with confidence no matter how far we've fallen. No matter how far we've fallen. And ain't that what he did? Huh? Now look back over in Luke 22 and I'll be done. He throwed himself in there. And you know, here's one of those instances. You know, here comes the devil. And he said, here you have an apostle who denied you. And still you love him? Still you use him? He said, I take the weak to confound him. That's what so many people say. I've never failed. I've been faithful for 35 years. I've went to Sunday school all my life, and they talk about all that they have done. And you mean tell me I'm not going to get more than somebody else? God said, I take this man who's nothing to bring to nothing all you who think you're something. That's not right. I'll leave God to let you stand on your own and see what's right. Oh, Lord, I prayed for you. He said, I prayed for you. And look down here in verse 38 or verse 37, and I'm through. Here's the reason. None for whom Christ died will ever perish. He said, for I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. Everything that's written must be accomplished in my body, in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my suffering, in my death. Everything about me that's written must be accomplished in me. And then he quoted Isaiah 53:12, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. And let me tell you how I understand this. He said, Simon Peter, he's a transgressor. John's a transgressor. I'm a transgressor. And our Lord says, number me among them. Number me among them. And this shows us that his death was substitutionary. Number me among the transgressors. I'm a transgressor. The Lord says, number me with him. Number me with him. Oh, he's an awful trend. Number me with him. He transgressed more than the hairs of your head. Number me with him. He drunk a nigger like water, number me with him. And then watch what he says. For the things concerning me have an end. They have a completion. They have a finish. They have an end to them. And beloved, you know where it ends? He cried with a loud voice and said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And every transgressor that he was numbered among was cleared of every charge and every guilt that had ever been brought against him for all time and eternity. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Oh, the Lord bless you all. God bless you, Tommy.